WNCW now presents this week's More to the Story. I'm Paul Foster. Our guest today from the Asheville Citizen-Times is reporter, journalist Joel Burgess. We're going to talk with Joel about his recent story, A Decade After the Great Recession. Analysis shows Asheville spending nearly stagnant. Joel, good morning.
Great to be here with you, Paul.
You began this particular story explaining what Asheville city manager was describing about the budget when he put a request in back in the year 2009. I'll let you pick it up from there, and then, of course, we'll move into current times. What was going on 10 years ago?
Sure. I think a lot of folks might remember that was near the tail end of the Great Recession. Things weren't so good for a lot of industries, a lot of personal households, and the city budget, too. And that's what the city manager at the time, Gary Jackson, was telling the city council in his budget message. He was saying that he had prepared this budget under, quote, extremely difficult circumstances. And he went on to talk about how they would be able to continue providing services, but kind of hidden in that budget were a lot of things like cutbacks on staff. I saw that and I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to look back 10 years and now project forward to this coming year's budget, which is about to be approved this month?
So here we are 10 years later, and let me ask you the question, has Asheville transformed when we look at things like incomes and certainly home cost?
There's definitely been either recovery or just a huge jump, even in certain areas of Asheville. A lot of people could guess just sort of looking around. It's intuitive. So adjusting for inflation, you had median household incomes rise from about $38,790 to $46,464. Job numbers gone up 19%, including a 27% jump in construction alone. And median home value, again, adjusted for inflation, has gone up 23% from about $190,000 to more than $232,000 in Asheville, really more like $233,000.
What about this current budget for 2019, what's remaining, 2019-2020? What does it look like? We are recording this conversation right now just before that vote is taking place. As it's airing on this Wednesday morning, we may very well know that it's been approved and what's going to happen and go forward.
Very much expect a budget to be passed, if not Tuesday, as expected, very soon. And I don't imagine the numbers will change drastically. But just comparing again from 10 years ago till now, we've talked about all these other things in the city that have jumped up economically. And looking at the budget, there's a 40% jump from $160 million to $190 million for the city's operating budget. That includes things, everything from water to garbage pickup to police. But if you really start looking at the numbers, if you, again, adjust for inflation, and then you think about it in a per capita fashion, keeping in mind that the population of Asheville has changed, it's really been stagnant since that time 10 years ago. The budget is up 5.8%, again, adjusted for inflation and per capita. And that just started my wheels spinning, trying to figure out why this was. Why was it that Asheville spending has lagged so far behind? Meanwhile, you have all these different areas where people are asking for more funding. Transit, people are crying out for more bus funding. The city council, as a matter of fact, made it a priority. You have firefighters who are saying that when you consider the very long hours that firefighters work and figure in per hour wages, some of them actually qualify for public assistance. You now have a hue and cry for protection for trees. They're saying that, you know, we've lost a tremendous amount of tree canopy over the last decade. And the city actually has a plan, an urban forestry master plan that's supposed to be funded, but it's nowhere in the budget. So why is it that spending has been so stagnant?
Well, you mentioned a couple of things that come to mind. Transit, certainly, they're two different entities, but I think about police and firefighters. They come forward with their request, Joel. I assume they get something, but it's not enough. There are some groups totally left out. How's that been going?
That's correct. You know, it's firefighters who really showed up in force during some of these budget hearings to talk about the need to increase pay. And I went ahead and took a look at their pay over the last decade. And if you look at that, again, adjusting for inflation, on average, outside of benefits, their salaries have gone up only 1.6%. So there is an argument there that they're not being compensated very well. And meanwhile, we know that cost of living in the city has risen drastically. Many of the firefighters say, look, I want to live in the city that I serve, but we can't afford it. And they're saying that the city also had a pay plan that it voted to implement, and yet it has not followed that pay plan. you know, the city is actually raising the transit budget quite a bit, from around $8 million to $10 million, although transit advocates still say that doesn't fund what is being called the Transit Master Plan, which is supposed to do things like extend evening hours, have more frequent buses, and also push for more on-time, on-schedule bus routes. Again, what I found is that the spending per capita adjusted for inflation is actually quite stagnant.
Joel, what you're explaining again brings up the question, the word that you mentioned a moment ago, why? Why is that?
So I went to one of the long-time city finance employees, Tony McDowell. He's the assistant finance director. He talked to Mayor Esther Mannheimer, who's really the only council member who was around about that time. She was elected in 2009, so shortly after that budget a decade ago was passed, and reached out to other people. It actually was a little befuddling even to Tony McDowell, the assistant city finance director, and he started looking at the numbers and said, yes, in fact, they're accurate, the calculations that the Citizen Times made. He said, you know, it really seems that property taxes and sales taxes just haven't recovered and or kept up since the recession. There were some things that the city lost in good and bad ways. There was a $1.5 million business privilege license tax that the state totally eliminated as a source of income for all cities across the state. So that hurt. And then the city also shed a few items that it thought could be better handled, usually by private groups. For example, the city golf course, while it's still owned by the city, it's now managed by a private entity, which basically is allowed to sink or swim. You've also got the beloved WNT Nature Center. There's been a lot more responsibility taken over by a private group, the Friends of the Nature Center, as opposed to the city. So these things, you could argue, are positives in terms of city spending. Just in terms of a formula, looking out over time, property taxes really keep up with city needs. If you look at inflation and things that cities have to provide, North Carolina is an interesting case in that property taxes are the primary way, usually followed by sales taxes, that cities, towns fund themselves. So I think what the story reveals is that structural problem that cities are going to have going forward under the current restrictions that the state places on them.
The last thing I'll leave you with, when it comes to property taxes, if that is something that can help the situation, could there be a tax increase on property? What are city leaders saying?
Very good question. This budget does not include a property tax, and in fact, there's very little enthusiasm for that.
We'd like to remind all the listeners that right here on WNCW, in some upcoming newscast, we'll be going over the 2019-20 budget. And of course, you can go online or to the pages of the Asheville Citizen Times, get all the latest on what's coming out of this recent story. A decade after the Great Recession, analysis shows Asheville spending nearly stagnant. Joel, thank you for breaking it down with us today.
Excellent to be here with you, Paul.
WNCW's More to the Story, also available as a podcast on our website, which is WNCW.org. I'm Paul Foster.